Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another podcast. Today, our topic is all about how does unhealed inner child affect the success in your life? So to talk to me about this topic, I have a very, very special guest, the very beautiful and gorgeous Jessica Canero. So Jessica is a hypnotherapist, transpersonal regression therapist, and family constellation facilitator here at Illuminations. So welcome to the podcast, Jessica. How are you today?
I'm so good, Nia. Thank you so much for having me.
No, I'm super, super excited about this topic because we were talking about this a bit earlier. It's such a unique and such an important topic. So let's just dive right into it. Can you please tell us what exactly is inner child?
Absolutely. So I love this, and same as you, it's one of my favorite topics. So first thing that I want everybody to understand is that inner child is essentially a part of our consciousness that has been frozen in time at a point where we have been unable to comprehend or understand what's happening around us. So this is essentially, it's a part of us, and it's from usually based upon an experience that we've had in which there is something that remains sort of frozen or a shock inside of us. And this can be something physical. It can be something emotional. It can be something quite big, and it can be something quite small. And that's why it's so individual. It's very much tailored to the person. And when this part of our consciousness does become frozen, there's obviously belief systems and conclusions that are taken out of this state. And this essentially becomes like a mandate with which there is an unconscious sort of rule that gets followed in our lives and gets utilized. And we're not always aware of it until, you know, there's an issue comes up or a situation happens consistently. And then we're like, what's going on here? There's no logic to this.
So can you give us an example? Okay, so how do you know this inner child is affecting you? Like, what are the consequences of that?
Absolutely. So, I mean, inner child can affect physically and emotionally and mentally. So as an example, I've had a client in which the experience or the consequence was physical. So he came to me with a stutter.
Okay.
And in many cases, a stutter can be an experience from childhood where something needed to be said and wasn't able to be said. And so in that moment, at that age, whatever experience happened then, let's say it was happened at 5 years old, that particular person or this man in my case was absolutely like frozen in shock and couldn't express what he wanted to express at that time. And it culminated in a state in his adult life where he stuttered. And especially when he wanted to say something that was really important to him, he just could not get it out. And what essentially happened in the session was giving that inner child the space to say, okay, on the count of three, I want you to say what it is that you didn't get to say back then. And it's like one, two, three, boom. And he just shouted out this phrase that he needed to say in that moment. And my gosh, the feeling that came from that, the tears, the grief, wow. But the relief, you know, that inner child finally was like, I'm finally, years later, but I can finally express what I needed to express. So that's a physical example. And of course, a very common example emotionally is, or mentally is in relationships, right? So we understand that our definition of love comes from our childhood experiences, what we perceived in our parents is what defines love for us now. And so when there is an experience, as an example, again, sort of relating back to a client that grows up seeing their parents argue or criticize. Mm-hmm. And so an understanding is given that criticism is equal to love. And there's no judgment in that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just the experience that was had. But unfortunately to that client, as they grow into an adult, there is a consistent definition that this is what I understand as love. So this is essentially what I am going to attract in my life. And so obviously the client was a female, and so she kept attracting relationships where she would have to keep honoring that state of being. She would have to, you know, she would attract men that would be quick to criticize, or even that she would criticize herself before her partner would even criticize her, which is crazy. But this was her norm. Yeah, and she consciously knew something was wrong. She knew that this is not a healthy relationship, but she came in that state of confusion. And when we see confusion in an adult state, so, you know, 20, 25, 30, you're an adult, right? You're a fully fledged adult. When you're coming in a state of confusion, like something's happening to me, I am accepting behaviors in my life that I know consciously are not okay, then we're looking usually at a wounded inner child.
Oh, wow. Okay, so from, okay, just to reiterate what, or try to understand what you're saying. So anytime you are in a pattern that's perhaps unhealthy, it's most likely a wounded inner child. Absolutely. So even if you are a 25, 40-year-old adult, and you have this pattern, you perhaps have a very young inner child that is calling out for attention.
Absolutely.
So how do you address this inner child? How do you work on this?
Okay, so first step is always acknowledgement. Mm. A child, and you can think of it literally as a child, right? The one thing that a child loves or needs is to be seen. Or attention, you can call it, but there's often a negative connotation with that. But a child needs to be seen, and seen for who they are. So when we see the traces of an inner child, or a stuck inner child, or a frozen inner child, the first thing we do in a session is that we take the client back to that time. So we understand the concept of like the unconscious mind or the subconscious mind, that all these experiences are stored there.
Mm-hmm. And this is done through regression?
Regression therapy.
Okay.
You can also work with inner children in family constellation as well, but very popular is done through hypnotherapy or regression therapy.
Yeah.
And so we take the client back to utilizing the issue that they're having. So let's say as an example with this girl who is experiencing negative relationship patterns.
Okay.
And then we delve into the feeling. So what's the feeling behind that? There's confusion, there's shame, there's sadness. Okay. And we utilize that as an anchor that takes the client back to the very first time that something happened that can help you to understand why this is there. And in most cases, I would say 95% of cases, they go back to the very first time. Sometimes they go back to another moment which has triggered that state. Mm. But most of the time they go back to that very first time, which is so powerful for them to experience. And the most amazing aspect of it is when you can see they make the connection. Mm. Like, oh my gosh, that's that. Yeah, I saw my parents go through that. That was a norm for me. And so first thing is that we say to the client, as the adult, we say, where is that inner child? Bring that inner child. Mm. And how is the child? And the first thing we do is acknowledge. And normally the inner child is very confused, lost, scared. Mm. And the necessary thing, as you would do with any child, is you immediately embrace the child and say, like, I'm here. Mm. I'm here and I see you and I acknowledge you and I'm with you now. You're safe. A big thing to say to an inner child is you're safe.
Because, oh, wow.
Yeah, a lot of the time there is that fear of, you know, whatever was experienced, because in many cases it is a trauma, but not a trauma in the way that we understand. We think trauma is this big thing. Trauma can be something like a phrase that was said to you by your father and it stuck with you for years, you know? Mm. But it's something that the child hasn't been able to comprehend. So they're scared and they're lost. And so that acknowledgement needs to be there. That reminder that you're in a safe space and I'm here to take care of you now. Mm. And then in certain situations, we would, as the adult, we would encourage the client to imagine that they are protecting the child, but taking them back to that situation where they're able to look. So let's say as an example, the antagonizer, for lack of a better word, in that situation is a parent, that we would have the child face the parent and say, okay, what is it that you would love to say to your mom or your dad right now that maybe you didn't get to say when you were 5 or 6 when this incident happened? And when you've got the client sort of with their hands on the child's shoulder saying, I'm here, you can do this, it's okay. The catharsis that the child has is incredible. So then you're giving the child the space to speak. I want you to express. Mm. I want you to tell your mom what you needed to hear, what you wanted to say in that very moment, you know? And the beautiful aspect of inner child healing is that the adult, the child as well, but the wisdom comes from the adult, or the adult picks up the wisdom, is that there's a realization in the moment that the parent starts to crumble, or whoever it is that, you know, has influenced the inner child or
the antagonizer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. there is an awareness and a breaking down in which the antagonizer says, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant for that to happen. I didn't mean for you to take on that understanding that wasn't intentional. And then there's this like this momentous, you know, freeze in the space of like, oh my God, it wasn't intentional. No one actually wanted to hurt me. It was just, you know, suddenly there's this realization it was a bad time or it was misunderstood or whatever it may be. That in itself is a beautiful moment and a big part of the healing. And then of course the child finishes expressing, and then there is a sense of energy exchange, which we understand in therapy is like this understanding that whatever beliefs I have picked up or whatever energy I've picked up from this experience, I return back to where it needs to go.
Yeah.
I return, whether it's to you or to your mom or to your dad, whoever it may be, it releases from the child. So there's that somatic release from the body, an ability to express, and a peace knowing that the adult is here to take care of them and that they're safe and protected and that they can be a child, you know?
Wow. And so, I love what you said earlier. It's that wisdom that you get, and I imagine this wisdom is what you call conclusions.
Absolutely.
That you make in those situations, correct? So when you get this realization as a child, oh, it wasn't about me, or I am lovable, let's say, and it had more to do with them rather than me. I guess as an adult, consciously, you can let go of that limiting belief, correct?
Yes.
So how does this directly affect our healing? Or in real time, or does it take a very long time for that process to change? What's the time frame like?
No, I have seen with inner child healing, the transformation can be almost immediate.
Okay.
Because so much of the healing is in the awareness.
Can you give us an example?
Oh gosh, well, that's the stuttering example.
Okay.
It was that evening. So the client, basically the story is quite a beautiful story. And it was even like quite a surprise to me when it came about. I've had nothing like it since. It's very remarkable. And so this boy comes to me and he had a pet tortoise. And learning curve here, turtles can swim, tortoises cannot. So he came to me, obviously the presenting issue was stuttering. Went back to the first time where this has happened, or this stutter has initiated from. And he went back to a time where he was with his parents and he was playing with the tortoise, and there was quite a story to it, but long story short, he put the tortoise in the pool and the poor little thing drowned because it couldn't swim.
No.
And in that moment, the parents, when he realized that the tortoise wasn't swimming, the parents ran over and they were like, what's happened? What have you done? And, you know, they're trying to fish out the tortoise. Yeah. But at that point, poor little thing had succumbed to the drowning. And he was just like, you know, even the way he was sitting on the therapy chair, he was sort of crumbling in front of me. And I could see that his throat was quivering and his mouth was quivering. And it just happened that I was like, okay. Like I said, in that moment, whatever it is that you needed to say in that moment, I'm going to count to three. And on three, I want you to say it. And I want you to say it loudly, you know, and one, two, three. And he just screamed, I didn't know. Like that was the phrase, I didn't know. And oh my goodness. And like I said, the tears and the grieving and the crying and and just like the breathing, it was just so much release because this poor little thing had no idea. He didn't know that tortoises couldn't swim. And his parents had come and started screaming at him and hadn't given him the space to just express that he didn't. He felt so guilty, but he just wanted to say, I didn't know. I didn't do it on purpose. I didn't know. So beautiful session, came out of it. And that evening, his mother called me and said, he is not stuttering.
Oh,
she's like, I'm not sure what's happened. She's like, I don't know if I believe it. She's like, I'll call you back in the morning.
Yeah.
And sure enough, in the morning, I messaged and I said, how is he? And she's like, he's not stuttering.
Wow.
So, I mean, these can be immediate. If you find that the trick is to find the right inner child, right? We have thousands of inner child, and that's not to sound disempowering, but inner child are created or generated very easily, right?
Okay.
But it's also, I wouldn't say easy, but it's also a very simple process to find them and acknowledge them and heal them, right? So in this particular case, once the inner child has expressed what needs to be expressed, there's no reason for the stuttering to continue. So in some cases, it may take time depending on how extreme the trauma may be. But in many cases, once the actual
inner child is found,
the true core inner child is found, the results can be instantaneous.
Wow. And so can you explain, if you can, what is happening in the brain how does that work in the brain when you do inner child work? Like, what's happening?
So every time we garner an inner child is created, right, or generated from an experience, there are parts of our consciousness that basically are sort of detached from us, right?
Okay.
So sometimes we call it soul fragments as well. There are parts of us that get removed, and there is a consequence to this, right? The more inner children that we haven't acknowledged or healed, the more we become scattered, the more we become confused, the more we actually start to act out of the space of a child. So, you know, you may find that you have a temper easily, or you get frustrated easily, or you have problems acknowledging logic. You know, so you can tell the state of an inner child by people that tend to look very much for fair and unfair rather than logic, right? And so, I think that what normally happens is that once we start to heal these inner children, we actually start, because inner child is a metaphor, right? Mm. What it actually is you're bringing parts back to you. You're returning parts of your consciousness
and
back to
the soul fragments that
and
you were
and the soul fragments, yeah. So you start to bring back these moments of consciousness, and what actually happens here is that the awareness, that you start to reemerge in an adult state, right? Mm. And so all of these, going into making this as brief as possible, because we can go into so much with the subconscious mind, but once these inner children are healed, the belief systems are now challenged. So what we once thought was concrete, and this is the way my life has to be, because extremes are also indicative of inner children, right? Nothing really is extreme in life.
Yeah.
And so once there is an understanding that, this has come from an experience that I've had, this is not a fact, I don't have to actually acknowledge or believe this, then subconsciously all of these beliefs come to the surface, we start to question them, and then when we start to see whether this is actually suiting my life or not, as it is now, if it's not, we change them. So basically there is a full reprogramming of your subconscious mind once you heal your inner children.
Wow.
Your beliefs get changed. Of course, there is a conscious work to it as well, but the beliefs get changed. The identity with whom you, because often our identity is in our trauma, which is a very heartbreaking thing, but it's a reality for a lot of us. So that identity starts to get questioned. Who do I actually want to be? And there's a freedom in that as well.
Wow. Yeah. So now that we've talked about inner children, we've been talking about the negative impact of inner children. Is there the opposite side to that, which means positive inner children? And what are the effects of having positive inner children?
There are some amazing effects of having positive inner children experience. So, inner children are linked to our creativity. As funny and ironic as that seems, without inner children in our lives, a lot of the creative geniuses that we know in history would not exist.
Wow.
So when we are in touch with our inner children, we are actually in touch with our creativity and our creative potential. And this is so important. This is so important to garner meaning in life, right? Mm-hmm. Is to embrace your creativity. So what happens, obviously, like I said, inner children is often in a state of confusion.
Mm.
What happens when we're confused is that we find outlets with which to express this confusion, right? Mm. And the beauty of it is that if maybe we're not so strong in words, we may express it through art. Mm. We may express it through music. We may express it through cooking. We may express it through writing. We may express it through poetry, film, my God, interior design. It can be absolutely endless.
Mm.
And that seed of that creativity, that immense creativity, is that little child that is trying to find her way to express what has happened to her way to comprehend her pain, which is, in a way it's a sad thought, but in a way like the result of that is beautiful and remarkable. And by bringing art, all kinds of art into this world, people find comfort in that. So your inner child and what you create out of that that state could potentially save the life of another. It's so comforting to another who may be going through the same thing internally and not realizing it. So inner children keep you young, they keep you playful, and most important, they keep you harnessing that creative potential. So although it's not necessarily a reason to keep an inner child unhealed. It is also nice to acknowledge that if you are someone who is very creative, and I believe we're all creative, just we express it differently, that definitely does get attributed to your inner child.
So let's talk a little bit about the healing side of things. So to the listeners who are listening to us right now, how do they get started on healing their inner children? What are some steps that they can follow?
Sure. So, well, of course, we always recommend that with inner child healing, do go and see a therapist that you trust. And, okay. and of course, that can be hypnotherapy, that can be sound healing, that can be regression therapy, that can be family constellation, and that can even work with, you know, CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, right?
But these are tools under psychotherapy, right?
Most definitely. And I always recommend psychotherapy only because a lot of the time inner child work will require regression. And so you may not get that, you know, from necessarily like as a psychologist, you know.
And why is that? Why is that psychologists don't address inner children? Wouldn't that be an important part of it?
Definitely. I of course, so certainly I can't speak on behalf of all psychologists. I'm sure that every psychologist would understand certainly that a lot of our issues would come from childhood. But I think not every psychologist will use regression. So a lot of the time it's spoken about. It's a conscious discussion. It's what happened when you were five. Well, this happened. Okay, how do you think that affected you? Well, now I tend to, you know, seek men out like this, or I tend to find myself always sabotaging my career.
It's
cognitive. And as beautiful and necessary as that is, and I take my hat off to the amazing work, all, you know, psychology, psychotherapy, it's all amazing. But what I found is that this helps the client to be able to talk about their problems more. It doesn't necessarily heal the problem. And so what I understand personally, and this may not be the case for everybody, but what I understand and what I have found is that to really heal an inner child, we have to go back. We have to go back. We have to take that inner child out of that space. We have to remind that inner child, him or her, you're seen, you're heard, you're loved, you're accepted. And that regression part of the work is important.
So because it's experiential?
Absolutely. And because there's usually, if not always, somatic charges. So these don't get fully released necessarily by discussion. Usually, you know, there's a conscious effort there to release.
And is that where the breath work comes in, like you mentioned earlier?
Absolutely. Breath work, even, you know, however emotional release happens for you, whether it is crying, whether it is screaming, you know, there are many different ways, but that safe space has to be there with the therapist. So I would say inner child work, you need to have a safe space. You need to trust the therapist and you need to, more from the client side, you need to be open to going back and looking into what your experiences in childhood have created for you. It's not always easy, and I fully acknowledge that. I think as a you know, therapists all have to go through their own work as well, so we know how difficult it can be. But the changes on the other side of that are remarkable. So it's 100% worth it.
So one is definitely going to a therapist to get, that's a good place to start, right? So what about post-therapy work, like on a daily basis, let's say, what can you do to address these inner children or your inner child?
Definitely. So I would say there are ways to connect with your inner child. And I would say, so breath work in itself is a big part. You know, practicing good breathing techniques, especially when, you know, a lot of us are very aware. And when we get triggered, we know where it's coming from. We'll say, oh gosh, I know this is from my experience with my dad or my cousin or my mom. Or so in those moments when you are, when your mind is sort of taking you back a little bit, and it happens every day, then to experience and put yourself in a state of taking deep breaths and enabling whatever is coming into your body at that time, enabling it to be felt. This is very important, right? This is a big part of healing in general.
Is that why our consciousness gets fragmented, because we don't allow ourselves to feel?
Absolutely, absolutely. Because without feeling, you can't apply logic to it, right? So then it's this part of us gets completely disconnected. Like not only am I not understanding what's happening, and I've created a conclusion out of this, and I've created a coping mechanism out of this, I can't even feel how that experience has made me feel. So it becomes a part of us that we almost don't want to deal with, or that we don't recognize, which is why often it's like I've seen in a child being referred to as like lost parts of ourselves, you know? Wow. And this is why. So breathing techniques is a big one. And also doing day-to-day things like journaling.
Okay.
Beautiful way to connect with your inner child. Drawing, and you don't have to be a master drawer. I'm speaking from someone who's very juvenile on this. Drawing and allowing whatever comes to you. This is a beautiful way of, because children are very visual, this is a beautiful way of connecting with the inner child.
So essentially cultivating that childlike energy.
Exactly. And another one that I love, and I'm not going to take credit for this. I saw this in an interview and I can't remember which Hollywood celebrity it was. And I thought, this is so beautiful and so powerful, is that he said, I carry a picture of myself at 5 years old in my wallet. And he said, and every now and then, maybe like once a week, he opens up his wallet and he looks at this five-year-old and he says to him, like, I'm so proud of you. Wow. And look how far we've come together. And it's because of you that I'm here, and I love you. You've made me who I am today, and I want to acknowledge you for that. And he's like, from what he said, he didn't seem to be involved in any therapy. He was like, this is just something that I do to give myself that respect and to give that child in me that reminder of how special he is, you know, and how this has been a teamwork. We've done this together.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if that inner child didn't persevere, you wouldn't be here, right? So there's so much credit that goes to the inner child for persevering, especially when times were tough.
But that must be so hard for people who are so used to being self-critical and so hard on themselves, like especially if that self-criticism has helped you succeed in life in many ways. And why would you give that up if that has been your primary driver or your biggest motivation to do better? How do you then cope with that? Like, how do you then go back to being a nurturing a nurturing parent to yourself when this self-criticism has been the biggest motivation to all your successes, let's say?
Yeah, so this one is tough. This one is tough because then there is a benefit to keeping the inner child unhealed, right? But the problem I would say with this, and you know, I always say like whatever works for you is important, but the problem with self-criticism is that there is not enough empowerment given to the child. So what is actually motivating the child is, as an example, the fear of not being enough and wanting to justify that to the parent or even to yourself, to the adult, right? So there's an overdrive that happens. Boundaries are not found, are not set, right? Because the child is doing it out of a lack of or an overcompensation. And that's what criticism does to us. It empowers us, but through like this negative understanding that if you don't do this, you're not going to be enough. If you don't do this, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to succeed to what your father wants you to succeed or whatever it may be. So after a while, what ends up happening or what I've seen with clients is that they become, they basically become shattered. They just like break down, you know, they go through an exhaustion or a fatigue and they kind of crash at some point and they're like, I'm overwhelmed. I can't keep this up any longer. So eventually it doesn't normally end in a very positive way. Physically, it can result, as I said, in like chronic fatigue, overexhaustion, too much taking on at once, overdoing what you are capable of doing. But when you come from a space of positive reinforcement to your inner child, you remind the child, and this is by showcasing it to yourself, it's self-compassion, right? It's like you can do what you can and you chase your dreams and you have ambition and you call yourself out when you're not doing what you should be doing or when you're having days where you're, you know, you're self-sabotaging or whatever it may be, and you're firm, but you're loving. You're firm and you're loving and you're a reminder of the value that you have and that your inner child has subsequently. And there is that persistence from a positive force of like, I believe in you. And there's an allowance to have rest days, you know? There's an allowance to be like, you can take a day off today. You can relax today. You've done really well.
Yeah.
And an acknowledgement that you're human, right? Wow. And you can't be ongoing all the time.
Wow.
So that I'd say that positive reinforcement creates balance and it creates boundaries. And that keeps things obviously in a healthy state.
Wow. I would love to dive a little bit more into boundaries. Mm. So can you talk a little bit about how not setting boundaries or having a lack of boundaries can directly affect your inner children and your success and so on?
Definitely. Oh gosh, I think that boundaries are at the core of everything. I think that boundaries are often affected by inner children. So usually when boundaries are, exceeded or pushed as children, we don't even understand them as boundaries. We just see them as the norm.
Okay.
So a very common example, which, you know, I see in young children, and, you know, we do a lot of conscious parenting at Illumination, so we sort of, you know, bring this awareness to parents that you already push your child's boundary when we say to our children things like, oh, go and hug your aunt, or go and kiss your grandmother on the cheek, you know? And there are a lot of children, if you actually observe them, that will be like, no, I don't want to. And we tell the child that's rude. We're like, your family wants to hug you. You need to go and hug them. And the problem is that we're not teaching them physical boundaries. We're not teaching them that, you know, it's okay to say no. And this is very important, especially for women, for girls, for little girls, right? We need to teach our girls that if you are not comfortable in this state, you know, you can say no. You can say it in a polite manner, but you can say no, thank you. Wow. You know, and so, yeah, but what essentially we teach our children boundaries. There's obviously no sort of blueprint that comes with that. And if the child feels that their boundaries have been pushed even as a child, then they're going to grow into adults that have no idea what their boundary is, or even more importantly, how to set those boundaries.
And so, I'm
at the core.
And I imagine that directly affects your self-esteem as an individual,
course.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Wow. Wow. This is amazing. And I love this insight that you're sharing with me right now. And unfortunately, we've come to the end of our show. But before we close up, is there anything you would like to share with our viewers as a last note?
Oof. I would love to say that healing yourself is not... it's not discovering yourself, it is a returning to yourself. And that it is not often a learning, it's an unlearning, it's an excavation, and it's a reminder of who you were before the world got its hands on you. And I think that it's really important that people understand that they're not lost. They're not lost, they're just buried. That part of you is never lost to the outside world like people think it is. It's just buried within you. And you know, you're not, I always say, like, you're not someone's lost set of keys, right? You are just, you're buried, and you need to be found, you need to be uncovered, and you need to be shown and acknowledged and seen for all of you, for everything and who you are. And I think there's so much magic in that. And that's the core of inner child work anyway. So,
wow, what a statement. I absolutely love that. Thank you so much, Jessica, for being with us here today. And I hope you all enjoyed this podcast. And I look forward to speaking to you guys again with another speaker. Until then, take care, stay safe, and live life. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Thank you, Nick.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.